Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. It's a special edition of the Trash today because we're going to be joined by the MK Bandit, and we're going to talk about something special happening in the state of Utah that includes Utah wrestling getting back into the TV business. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the old-time wrestlers and some of the things that are going on to support some of the old-time wrestlers. That's with the MK Bandit. And then we'll follow that up with a legendary performer in the WWE. She's known to say, "Excuse me," a few times. We're going to have a special interview with Vicky Guerrero. Thanks for joining us today. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
You know, I've been talking all morning long about our special guest. Let's bring him in here. He's one of the hardest working men I've ever met and known. Not only is he in his regular job as an engineer, but he also travels all over the world, literally, helping with professional wrestling. He is the MK Bandit, the greatest heel in professional wrestling. Hi, MK.
How are you doing? Thank you for having me on, and thanks for the wonderful introduction. You're way too kind.
Oh, man, you work so hard. You know, you and I met a couple of years ago, and you've been on my podcast, the Turnbuckle Trash, a couple of times, and I'm just always amazed at all the things that you're doing. But let's get right to it, to the point here, because yesterday there was a big announcement involving professional wrestling and studio wrestling coming back to Utah. Tell us how this is going to work, MK.
Well, you know, it's something that I have been trying to get reestablished in this industry for two decades. It's been, gosh, you know, since the AWA days, running here, they'd have television tapings or things like that consistently in this state. And Manny Lemons is an amazing go-getter, and this is all his baby. I don't want to take any credit. He did it all. Mm-hmm. And he got with Vince Russo. Vince Russo is writing and producing, the guy who created the Attitude Era, and those two went at it and got us on CW30. And I just want to be very clear. This is not some YouTube show. This is not some streaming show. This is terrestrial TV that everybody in Utah will get to watch 11:30 to noon on Saturdays, just like when you were a kid watching pro wrestling, and then a replay at 1 a.m. on Sunday.
That is so cool. Devotion Championship Wrestling on TV on the CW30.
Right.
You and I have talked. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, where studio wrestling was the thing to do on Saturday morning. So you know where I'm going to be at 11:30 on Saturday morning. I'm going to be watching my friends at the Devotion Championship Wrestling. Now, they're going to be taping on February the 22nd. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's February 22nd. You know, I've been doing a lot of interviews. I've done a lot of things, and I say the same thing, that professional wrestling is the last sport where really the fans become part of the action. The fans can actually interact with the talent. And so when you come to that TV taping on February 22nd at Wrestling at the Gateway, you actually are going to be part of the show, meaning you'll be part of a television show, a literal television show.
Yeah, the last time on our podcast, I said, if there's one thing that has changed in professional wrestling, is that the crowd wants to chant something. They want to come up with their chant. They do the DCW chants. This is awesome chants. This is wrestling chants. The You Stink chants. I mean, they are on these wrestlers, good and bad. And it is so much fun to watch. I've just enjoyed watching how improving the product is over the last year for DCW and Devotion Championship Wrestling. And you're going to be a part of this show yourself coming up on February the 22nd. Tell us what's going to happen.
Well, you know, basically, those of you who know my work know that I manage the FSC heavyweight champion of the world, Sam Adonis. He is coming into town, and he's going to be taking on Manny Lemons for the DCW title. It's going to be one of my last shows in the United States and one of Sam's last shows in the United States, because we head to Mexico City, and we're doing Hoover Mania and Lucha X. So it's a real special thing for those people who haven't been able to see national talent at an affordable price. And not only that, be a part of a television show. February 22nd, main event, me with Sam Adonis with me, and Manny Lemons. And it's for the DCW title, not for the world title, but for the DCW title.
And they're gonna tear this house down, I'm telling you. There's going to be go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, last time they were together, when was the last time you saw a 60-minute time limit draw?
Oh, not since Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes went at it, you know?
That's what happened. Sam Adonis and Manny Lemons went to a time limit 60-minute draw in a unification match. And I'll tell you something, it wasn't just some 1970s headlock and armbar. It was an exciting match from beginning to end. The crowd was engaged the whole time, and now they're getting in the ring to do it again.
And it's going to be February the 22nd at the Gateway, just right across from the Vivint Smart Home Arena. Very easy to find. Let's talk about some of the other talent. There's some homegrown talent that's going to be there, too. I'm Andrew Sowell, the pineapple-clad Tom Chad. There's a bunch of local talent there.
Well, let me tell you something. The thing about it is, you know, professional wrestling never died in Utah. It just went underground. And many people like myself, to be properly trained, to be properly taught how to wrestle, had to go outside the state. And a lot of other people were dedicated to their craft, too. And the cream always rises to the top. And as you can see by our TV deal and our numbers and our attendance, the local talent rose to the top. And that brings me to something I want to say about the local talent. Half of life is just showing up. These people are the ones that never gave up. These people are the ones that are amazing to watch. They've never had anything handed to them. They've had to fight, scrape, scratch against all odds to be a professional wrestler. And those are the ones that are going to be on the show February 22nd. Those are the people you should be cheering, because they are true success stories, each and every one of the local talent.
Yeah, you've got people like the Brothers Smith, the tag team champions. They won a tag team of the year at another promotion in Colorado recently, and they're the first Devotion champion tag team champions, and it's Brother Austin and Brother Chadwick, and they put on a great show when they're in the ring every time.
Well, you know, the thing about professional wrestling is that the map was laid out for us by many wonderful individuals who have gone before us. I'm not going to name them all for fear of leaving some out. But what you've got to understand is what I love about professional wrestling, what drew me in as a child, it's like going to the zoo. There's one of every animal. So if you like hardcore wrestling, we have that. If you like comedic wrestling, we have that. If you like just butt-kicking, punch-in-the-face type of wrestling, we have that. If you want female wrestling, we have that. Literally, this show has one of everything for every style of wrestling that you could like. And so it's like one animal from every, you know, one of every animal in the zoo is what this show's like. And that's kind of the modification. And furthermore, it's written and produced by Vince Russo, a guy who invented the Attitude Era in WWE.
And he was part of the Monday Night Wars between WCW and WWE. This is a legendary name in the industry.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing about it that's crazy is the gentleman is such a wonderful individual and such a professional, and he's so approachable. So I invite everybody out there to come on February 22nd, be part of the TV taping, and walk up and say hi to Vince Russo, a living legend. The guy's great. He's an amazing individual, and he really hasn't been involved in professional wrestling on this side of things for probably 15 years, and he chose Devotion Championship Wrestling. And that's a credit to Manny and Manny's talents and Manny's stick-to-itiveness.
Yes, it is. We're speaking now to the Federal Director of Athletics, overseeing all of sports entertainment. It is the MK Bandit.
MK, tell us how you got that title.
So I'm gonna tear down the fourth wall a little bit.
The
story is Donald Trump appointed me the federal director of all athletic competition, overseeing all of sports entertainment activities. The truth of the matter is the most wonderful gentleman, Tommy Dreamer, gave me a call one day and asked that I work in his company. And I was doing the director of competition in Destiny Wrestling and doing basically a suited bad guy attorney gimmick all over the country, all over the world. And that's what I thought I was going to be doing there. And he brought me in and he sat me down and he said, you know, we don't have a consistent talent roster here in House of Hardcore. And if I put you with one guy, that guy may not be back for the next show. Additionally, we perform all over the Northeast, so we're not in any one jurisdiction. Everybody here hates the athletic commissions. So we're going to make you, at first was the New Jersey Athletic Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came up with, well, I want you to come up with a title. And I said, well, I'm doing the director of competition in Destiny. Why don't we do the federal director of competition? And he smiled and goes, the federal director of athletic competition overseeing all of sports entertainment activities. And so that started an 18-month feud with Tommy Dreamer. And that's how it was started.
That is so awesome. You have some personal projects that we want to talk about before we let you go this morning, MK. Tell us about your affiliation in Phoenix and also your own podcast.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. I own a company, me and Dom Vitale, those of you who know him from Keepers of the Faith, own a company in Phoenix. It's Phoenix Championship Wrestling. I've been successful with Destiny Wrestling in Albuquerque. I've been successful here. I've been successful almost everywhere. And so I thought, why not try in Phoenix? And Dom Vitale and a lot of wonderful people, though, Derek Nykirk, they've all been helping me. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. But long story short, April 11th, we have our next show. And I'm going to kind of give – here's a peek behind the curtain. Sam Adonis will be there, but we're going to bring someone in who has never, ever performed at this part of the country, and that's Estrelita Luchadora from CMLL.
Wow.
And she's going to be coming in. Yeah, so she's going to be coming in. She does not perform in the United States. It just doesn't happen, and it's basically Sam and I had to pull some strings to bring her in. So the people of Phoenix are going to get to see someone that, unless you go to Mexico City, Mexico, or Mexico, you're not going to see her perform in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be coming up on April 11th. And that hasn't been officially announced, but YouTuber, Googler, Estrelita Luchadora, she's amazing. She's basically their version of Trish Stratus, I guess. She's a living legend. Then my Cauliflower Alley Club, I just want to say the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion is coming up on the 27th and 29th in Las Vegas. I do a podcast with them, but the most important thing about the Cauliflower Alley Club is if you care about pro wrestling, if you actually care about this business and about the people who have come before us to create a business for you to work in and for you to watch, then you will support Cauliflower Alley Club because it's a benevolent organization that helps out professional wrestlers who have fallen on hard times.
That is so cool.
It's a complete charity, and every single dollar that you give to the Cauliflower Alley Club goes directly to these wrestlers. It is a benevolent organization. Not one of us take a dime, and it helps those of us. As everybody knows, there's no health insurance for pro wrestling, especially for the gentlemen in the 80s and 90s. And sometimes they fall on hard times, and it's a benevolent organization helping those that went before us that made this business what it is today. So please, if you can't make the reunion, still become a member, still donate money, CauliflowerAlleyClub.org. It's a great cause. And again, it's one of those things that if you enjoy professional wrestling, if you work in professional wrestling, you've got to give respect to those people that went before us, donate, come to the reunion, and listen to our podcast.
Will do. Hey, once again, let's talk about Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Yes.
When is the show going to be on the CW? What day does it start?
It starts this Saturday. Mm. It literally starts this Saturday. We're going to be starting with some spot shows. And then we go from there. You know, as with anything, everything big starts small. So it's shows that we've done earlier and in smaller venues, and then it gets bigger and bigger from there. And we're going to start doing storylines February 22nd. They've already been established. Again, we got Vince Russo on board. So watch us this Saturday, and then a following Saturday, February 22nd, come to the Gateway. The tickets, literally, VIP tickets are only $18.
And
general admission is $15.
It's awesome. And one of the shows, I actually was the ringside announcer, and I had the opportunity to introduce the acts like Tombstone Jesus. What a great guy he is. I love that dude.
Yeah.
Once again, we want to wish you the best. And on a personal note, MK, I know you lost your father recently, and I was so touched at your post on Facebook about it, and I'll never be able to watch a Notre Dame football game again without thinking about you and your dad. It was just nice.
Well, thank you very much.
And
that means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. And I know that you are the biggest KISS fan in the world, so coming up after the news this morning, we're going to play you some KISS, okay?
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right, the MK Band at DCW, they're going to start taping on the 22nd, but they're going to start their shows this Saturday at 11:30. The MK Band is joining us on Cool 103.9. Thanks, MK.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time.
Wish everyone and our friends at Devotion Championship Wrestling the best of luck with their new TV show. Hang on, because she's next. It's Vicky Guerrero, next on Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
You like wrestling?
Yeah.
It's sort of like wrestling, except they ain't mad.
It's called suspension of disbelief.
It's like wrestling for fun.
Like wrestling.
Nothing like that. This is unbelievable.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
And now on Turnbuckle Trash, I got to tell a quick story, because back in September, I was at something called FanX in Salt Lake City, and I went there because I heard Jerry the King Lawler was going to be there, and I'm a big Lawler fan, having grown up in Memphis, Tennessee. And as we're looking for Jerry's booth, all of a sudden down the aisle, I see a huge picture of someone. I went, wow, I didn't know they were there. And I told my wife, I said, I have got to go meet Vicky Guerrero. Vicky joins us right now on Turnbuckle Trash. I cannot tell you what a pleasant surprise that was. And my wife wanted me to tell you specifically how much she enjoyed meeting you, and she wanted me to tell you hi, and how she couldn't find the WWE fabric to make you some of those pants I was wearing.
Well, tell her I said hello. Yeah, I came in through a vendor, so I wasn't advertised as one of the main rosters, but it was fun. I mean, see what you got when you're looking for someone else. You should have been looking for me instead.
I was so overtaken with joy, because I have been such a big fan of yours and the work you did with the WWE, and to finally get to meet you and actually talk to you. You are one of the most gracious people I've ever met, and I appreciate the way you treated myself and my wife.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I try and, you know, I'm a nice person aside from being paid to be bad. No, but thank you. And yeah, I've never seen WWE material since I met you guys. So maybe you can like go steal like one of their drop cloths or something in a show and like use it for your pants.
Well, well, first off, I want to talk about some of the projects you have going on right now, because you told me you've been back to school and you're doing a lot of different things, including acting. What is going on in the life of Vicky Guerrero right now?
Oh my gosh. Let's see. What do I start? Okay. So I finished school in September. I graduated with my bachelor's in healthcare administration, and I will never buy another notebook again in my life. I'm done with school. I started my Excuse Me podcast. We're going about 16 weeks now. And I volunteer in San Antonio, Texas for the Salvation Army's Family Emergency Shelter. And I am getting ready to go to New York in about 2 weeks to sell my book to a publishing company because I'm writing my autobiography with Life After and Before with Eddie.
That is incredible. Well, Vicki, before, as we're talking about your book, are you working right now with a publisher? Do you think, do you have an idea when this is going to be available?
Well, I have an editor and a literary agent. And so we're finishing, it's called a proposal, where it kind of gives a synopsis of what the book is. And so we're going to submit it this coming Monday to the publishing company. And she's taking care of all that. And then
Well, Vicki, let's go back a few years. When did you, as Vicki Guerrero, the wife of the great Eddie Guerrero, when did you start getting involved in storylines in Eddie's career?
It wasn't until 2004 when we were the storyline of Eddie and Rey Mysterio with the child custody case with Dominic. Mm-hmm. That went on for about probably 5 months, and then probably the early of 2005, they started bringing Ray's wife, Angie, and myself and our kids, and it just turned into this huge, you know, production, and that's when I got to make a presence on the WWE stage, and I had a blast.
And then we all know the tragic death of Eddie and how it affected everyone involved, including the fans of professional wrestling, because Eddie was a legend in what he did, and especially helping the not so huge wrestler like a Hulk Hogan or even Paul White, you know, not the really big guy, but the more normal size, very good shape and acrobatic, almost the lucha style with Eddie. And when that happened, it had to be not only a shock to you and your family, but to all your friends and family that were out there. I wanted to ask you, how long did it take before that the WWE reached out to ask you to come back onto SmackDown?
Let's see. So Eddie passed away in November of 2005. I didn't get a call until, and I inducted Eddie into the Hall of Fame in April of 2006. So it must have been about July or August that I got the call, and then things went from talking about just being there for 2 months, and then it ended up being over 10 years.
Well, I gotta ask, who came up with that great catchphrase of "Excuse me"?
I did.
Wow.
It was on a fluke. It was a night that, you know, my job is to do a lot of promos. And the first one that they gave me, we were getting ready to go live in about 30 minutes. And my promo kept changing about 3 to 5 times. And this is when I was in the wheelchair. And Teddy Long always pushed me on the wheelchair. We were in Gorilla waiting. And, you know, the writers kept bringing me this promo and it kept changing. I mean, it was like just completely from one opposite to the other. And I think it was about 5 minutes till we went live. And I started looking a little nervous. And I told Teddy, I said, I'm kind of worried. He goes, "You're going to screw this up, playa, aren't you?" And I'm like, "I think tonight I'm going to, you know, mess things up." And he just kind of laughed. He goes, "You got this." And actually I did it, because when I went out to the stage, I started the promo and I went blank because I had like all 5 promos in my head at one time. And it was just a horrible feeling of not being prepared. And that's something that I don't like to be, you know, usually I like to get all my promos memorized before each show. Mm-hmm. And that night was just a horrible night. They were unorganized. But so I forget the promo and I kind of stood there like a deer with headlights, and the audience caught on really quick that I forgot my promo, and I kind of just sat there and I started getting all this feedback like, "You suck, go home, you don't belong here." And I was mortified, and finally I just yelled out, "Excuse me." And then they came back even louder, and I said it again. And, you know, I finished the promo and I told Teddy, "Get me backstage. I don't want to be here no more." And the writers loved it. They were just like, "Hey, you know, that 'excuse me' really pissed them off." And I was like, "No, it's just, you know, I think it's just a fluke." And the next week we did it, and they were, you know, they started expecting it every week after week, and I kept it. And so that's been my slogan for like the last 16 years now.
So I have a comment real quick, if you don't mind. So how did you feel, like, basically it's like every time you come out on stage with two words, you could piss off 15,000 fans. I mean, Vicky didn't have to say anything. Like, you literally come out and you stand there on the entrance ramp with a mic in your hand, and they're like, oh, no. And it's like, all you had to say was two words, and you get literally 15, 20,000 people booing you.
Dang, it is the most incredible adrenaline rush feeling I could ever have in my life.
Wow. Unreal.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I love, you know, getting the crowd, to hate me and then take them back to thinking that I'm just going to be like this, I'm going to change my ways and be this nice woman, and then take them back to being pissed off at me again. It was fun, and now I know why Eddie enjoyed, you know, playing with the crowd so much, because it's just a lot of fun to see. You pick out one person's face, and you see how many times they can smile and get pissed off within, like, 5 minutes, and it's such a rush.
So I want to go back a little bit to what we were talking about earlier. You were talking about your podcast, and I did find your podcast, and I looked it up, and you've had a lot of really neat people on there. I mean, recently you had Nick Aldis, yes. you had Chris Benoit's son on there, and I liked your interviews. It's not just like talking about, oh, hey, you know, you here you are in the business, and your dad was in the business. You know, you really got, I mean, personal with them and asked them hard questions. And I guess your podcast is not just for entertainment, but it's also not just for entertainment, but to find out a little bit more about them.
Yeah, you know, I really, I'm taking my podcast, I'm trying to, Jerry Strauss is my co-host, and he's the brains behind all the editing and technical stuff, and I'm the mouth. And he wanted me to just be me. And I wanted to really highlight my guests, including their families. And you know, there's more than what they're just doing, you know, for wrestling or what they do in life, whether it's an activist, a politician, a comedian, a wrestler. I really want to talk more than what they're known for. And I think that's important.
Well, Vicky, you talked about with, you know, what other wrestlers are doing. I thought it was interesting to hear you talk about working with the Salvation Army. And where did that come from? Is there something special about the Salvation Army that in your life that made you want to work with them?
No, I wanted to find a community service that I could give back. And I went and I found the Salvation Army in San Antonio, and I love the staff, and I love that we were able to work our schedules together, and to meet the families that have gone through hard times has something that's been really special to me. So about two or three times a year, I try and, you know, go and volunteer, or I'm raising money to be able to, you know, help the foundation out.
Well, that's incredible. I've found, you know, just throughout the years, and, you know, I've been a fan of professional wrestling since I was like in the fifth grade back in Memphis. But I've found that a lot of the performers, a lot of the wrestlers do find ways to give back to the community. And I think that's a really good thing that that the promotions really get into. I know our friends at Devotion Championship Wrestling are always trying to find ways to give back. And with that, I wanted to ask you, when I was with you in Salt Lake, I said that I had seen you on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood when they were doing their red carpet rumble a couple of years ago. And you said you love working with some of the independents. Have you still been able to work with some of the indie promotions out there?
Not out there, and then also in other locations. I love the indie promotions because it's a bunch of kids that want to wrestle or be a manager or anything that they're interested in. You know, I love giving back my knowledge and educating them on something that they may have a question about, or if they say, hey, you know, can you give me some feedback? And I think that's just so important because I needed that education and knowledge whenever I was just starting out. Because when I started out, I didn't have any experience. I was just at home, you know, raising our girls, and Eddie was the one that was on the road. And I just think it's important to empower each other, to help them, and to see these kids hungry to make it, you know, to these bigger stages. This is where it starts. And to meet these kids and know that some are getting, you know, popular and they're moving on up, it makes me happy because they have put the dedication and work into making the performance a lot better and getting noticed by these bigger companies.
Yeah. So, Icky, I remember one time Seth Rollins was cutting a promo and he says, it doesn't matter if I'm in front of 50 people wrestling for a hot dog for dinner or 15,000 people on a Monday Night Raw. He says, I still feel the crowd and the people and their interest. Do you feel the same way? Like, you know, was it different going from WWE, say, to like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and seeing like, oh, I had 15,000 fans a couple years ago and now I have 500.
No, you know, that's something that a lot of superstars forget, is that by being humbled, by it doesn't matter if you have 50 people in the audience or 200 or 85,000. Everyone has paid a ticket and everyone has worked hard to get that ticket. And I believe that if everyone that shows up in that audience, that I'm out in the ring, that I want to give something to each and every one of them, that they're going to remember me and say, oh, wow, you know, she pissed me off, or she was funny, or did you see her take that food fight, you know, or whatever it is. If they've enjoyed it, it doesn't matter, because as long as everybody, you know, is enjoying the show.
So another thing that comes to mind with the last couple of years, we've seen so much more emphasis on women's wrestling. I mean, right now we have Tessa Blanchard, the first world champion in Impact, you know, first female wrestler to hold a world title. You know, the WWE Women's Revolution has come so far. I mean, to where, you know, it used to be something that, oh, we just have a few women on the show, and now it's like we have these women that are so talented, so incredibly good at what they do. And to be quite honest with you, they put on a better show and are better athletes sometimes than some of the other performers. So you were a part of this women's revolution in professional wrestling. What's your take on that?
I think it's about time. I mean, when I was in WWE from like 2006 to, almost until I retired in 2014, the women weren't given a lot of opportunities. And so I saw the discouragement and I saw the, you know, just the hard times that the women would try and have these matches and their time would get cut, or they wouldn't even have a women's match, you know, for a show. And if it was, it was because they were in bikinis or it was a pillow fight or whatever it was. And that was something that I saw, that they were really discouraged about, and I felt bad for them. And, you know, I was in a different role where I was able to take the mic and go work in the ring with one of the guys. But to see how they have, you know, revolutionize themselves and they're having main events and their own pay-per-views, I'm so proud of each and every one of them, because it takes a village, you know, to really make something work, and everyone has contributed their talent or their creativity or whatever it is, but the women have made their mark in all the professional.
Wow. Vicky, you brought up a point, and Zane and I have talked about this on our podcast several times, because we were big proponents right before the women's evolution started happening, saying how much that the women weren't getting the time that they truly deserved. I want to take you back in the puppies era with one of my favorites of Jerry Lawler. But sometimes it was almost embarrassing the way that women were treated in professional wrestling at that time. It had to be frustrating, not only for you, but for some of the other performers.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, my job was okay. I mean, I was getting TV time. But, you know, when I walked into the locker room and these women were promised, you know, matches that night, or they were promised, you know, that they were going to get a chance to prove their talent, you know, to wrestle, And when they're told, you know, no, we cut your time from 10 minutes to a minute, or they want the girls to, you know, they use the girls a lot for, you know, these makeout sessions or to exploit their bodies. And I didn't agree with it. And, I didn't have a say. And it was always the higher ups that wanted that type of image for the women. And, you know, to walk in there and to listen to the women and be discouraged and depressed and, you know, frustrated. I mean, damn right. You know, it was really hard to see them. And these women were my friends, and I valued them. And I think they were so talented. And to see that the women now are getting a chance, and the women back then never got to have their chance to be in a main event or to headline a WrestleMania. I feel bad for them, but you know, it's just times have changed, and it's for the greater good. And I think that it's a good, you know, movement for the women.
That's awesome. Well, we're really proud of what's happening with the women, not only in the WWE, but also in the other promotions. Vicky, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, because I was looking on YouTube and I was just, you know, just did your name there. And I came across one that you must have had dozens, maybe hundreds of pies and cakes thrown into your face during your time.
It
was just like every time. I mean, there's a whole video up there that's one right after another with you either getting slopped or you getting a pie in the face or cakes in the face.
And what's your point, Dave? What is your point?
Did they taste good?
You know, I have to give it to them. Our catering, they did a great job when they asked me what kind of flavor I wanted for that fight. So I have to say that they took care of me, and you know, it was okay. I didn't suffer too much.
And then you and I were talking in Salt Lake City about your final match with Stephanie McMahon. What was the emotions when you knew that you were not going to be coming back and this was going to be your final appearance?
You know, it's always heartbreaking, but with excitement as well, because, you know, I left WWE because I wanted to finish my schooling and get into the medical field. You know, during the day, you know, we were talking about the match and I was getting excited. And then later on, I didn't even know I was going to be, you know, throwing Stephanie into the mud. And then having the girls, you know, the way it played out, they didn't let me know until the very end of the day. And then, you know, to have me, you know, go out to Eddie's music, and I was able to throw a kiss to him. It was just, I was like, now I have to quit to get all this cool stuff happening to me. I mean, you know, but I'm always indebted to Stephanie for being such a team player and having fun with me that night. And it was great. You know, I went home for a month and I thought, oh, this is awesome. I threw away my suitcase. I got to sleep and have like a normal person's sleeping pattern and got to eat, you know, on a regular basis. And then I think after like 2 months, I was like, I want to go back. Oh, no, it's okay. It's just, you know, you can take the girl out of the ring, but you'll never take the ring out of the girl.
So what was it like being, like you said, you were talking about, you know, the different schedules and things like that. I mean, WWE superstars, and they're on the road for 300 days a year. You know, what was that like to be on the road so much? Did you find that being hard on you, or did you get used to it, or just something you dealt with? Or
I think, you know, you just kind of adjust to what's expected of you. You know, their schedule was pretty hard, so I would get home on a Wednesday after TV, and then I would have Thursday home, and then Friday we were back on the house shows. So I got to see my girls maybe 2-3 days of that, and then if I was off of the house shows, then I got to be home for the weekend, so that was like a big vacation for me. But it, you know, you do what you have to do, you know, to keep up with the schedule, and it's fine. You know, I mean, I look back and I can't imagine how I kept up with it. But, you know, and you see these other promotions that are, you know, having the guys work like one time a week or maybe once every 2 months. And I think that's brilliant. I mean, how great is that for the guys to be able to rest and do other projects and be with their families? And I think that's awesome how they get to have that schedule.
So speaking of other projects, you're doing a few things with All Elite Wrestling right now. What's your role with them? And are you allowed to expand on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went and did some commentary for them during the AEW Dark Show, which I fell in love with everyone backstage. And I've been watching the product. You know, so that was great. I'm not signed with them or anything,
okay.
You know,
okay.
But I promote them a lot on my podcast. I was on the Chris Jericho cruise, and I got to be around everyone. So I got to meet everyone more on a personal basis and get to know them a little better. If anyone, you know, if they want to sign me, I think I'd be so blessed and happy, you know, I mean, because I just want to work and I've always wanted to go back to work. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's a great product. And if they want me to go back and do commentary or, you know, go slap someone, yeah, they have my number.
Well, you could slap Zane anytime you wanted to. I, you know.
Oh, no. Awesome. Awesome.
No.
Hey, Vicky, I wanted to ask you about the Guerrero family. I know I talked to you a little bit about Chavo and having seen him on a TV show. I think it was a murder reenactment show in Hawaii where he was doing an acting role. Are there any other Guerreros that are either in acting or in wrestling that we need to be looking out for?
It's only Chavo Jr. Uh-huh. He's actually a stuntman for GLOW, and he's doing an amazing job, and he even has a speaking role now, which, you know, we're really excited about. But we're the only ones that are pretty much active, you know, with the wrestling promotions and any acting that's going on out there. So Chavo's doing a great job, and I saw him on the cruise, so we got to connect for a lot, you know, the whole week, and he's doing great.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask you also about family life. You talked about being away from your girls for so long. How difficult was that? Because they were fairly young when you were on the road. How difficult was that to be able to have that parental role?
It was very hard. I mean, because I had one in high school and one junior high. And the hardest part was having a nanny, which she was great. I had some of the best nannies take care of them. And they took that parental role a lot, which really hurt my heart. But that's why I hired them.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I miss a lot of school activities and their sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was the hard part of it. But when I was home, I did not miss anything. So they knew, they understood the schedule, and they're the first ones that know what the wrestling life is like. So, you know, whenever I could be home, you know, that was something that I really embraced. And I even helped out with the teams or transportation or whatever it was. But that's the hardest part, is for any wrestler or any celebrity, for that fact that you miss the family life, you miss the birthdays and the, you know, all the celebrations and stuff. So, but it's okay. You know, they survived. They didn't die, and we're all good.
No, that's good. I also want to go ahead.
We've been talking a lot, especially a lot lately on the podcast, about social media and, you know, how great it is, but also how terrible it is, and how, you know, it's such a great thing for marketing, but it's such a terrible thing for people to be so
rude.
Opinionated, rude.
Yeah.
What are you, how do you use social media in your professional and your personal life to promote your products? And how do you deal with things that come up that may not excite you on social media?
Well, I think social media is great if used in a positive way, because it's free to promote my career. You know, it's such a free, you know, rental space. You know, you can, you know, put your projects and everything out there. You know, as far as like the people that are, I call them the keyboard warriors that are so strong, you know, behind their screens. I don't give them the energy. You know, I don't even acknowledge them, because I think that it's worthless, you know, because once you start igniting that fire, then that just gives them more power to, you know, say mean things or be negative. You know, of course, if they're insulting my family or something's being said that I don't agree with, then I just block them. And that's the wonderful gift that God gave us, is the block button.
I love it. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Vicky.
Yeah, of course.
I have a lady that I work with at the radio stations here in Logan that is a big wrestling fan. And I would just ask you if you could just say a word of encouragement to Lisa Johnson, because she's such a nice lady and she's a big fan of yours. So if you wouldn't mind, just say something to Lisa.
Oh, this is awesome. So Lisa, from a woman to woman, I believe that we have to start with the love in our day to come back to us, that we have to love ourselves first before we can take care of anything else in our day. I believe in prayer and having faith. And, you know, for me, it's my Lord Jesus Christ, that he didn't give me, you know, the breath and the health and the mind for me to continue in my day. And I think that's really important, to focus on the good things in my day, and everything else will kind of, you know, make its way around, you know, for things to work out. But I really believe that we have to just, you know, focus on what we have to do for that day, and to surround yourself with people that are positive and that empower you, and the people that aren't feeding you that love and motivation. I would say, you know, they're not your friend, because it's very hard to go through life and you don't have that support group. So I've lost many friends. I've lost many people who I thought were my friends. But when it comes down to who's good for me and who's not, the people that love me and motivate me, and I can do that in return for them, that's the people that you want to have in your circle. So hang in there, Lisa. Awesome.
Wow.
So I just have one question for you, Vicky. If I, like you said, you like to get personal with people and things like that, and I won't make it too personal, don't worry. But I noticed on your Twitter, Turnbuckle Trash follows you on Twitter, and I noticed you're not scared, and just like barely, you're not scared to say that, you know, I've noticed many times you say you thank God and for all the things that you have. And sometimes in like a professional field, it's like, it's almost taboo to talk about religion and things like that, or thank God for putting you where you are. How have you found the courage to say stuff like that on social media and be public about it and not be embarrassed by, you know, that?
Oh, well, that's easy for me. You know, being a child of God, I was saved. And God says, if you shall deny me in front of the world, I'll deny you at the gates whenever it's time for me to walk through the heavenly gates. And I believe that it's not about me pleasing the world or the next door neighbor or the stranger that I met. It's about me giving all the acknowledgement to God, because he's blessed me and I'm a child of his. And, you know, I can't be afraid to show what I believe. And this is the great thing about social media, is that if you don't like what my opinions are or how I'm built as just Vicky Guerrero, then please go somewhere else, you know, because it's my page. And I don't, and I'm the first one that I will respect everyone's opinions on their pages. And I hear a lot of things and I see a lot of things, but it doesn't mean I have to insult them or disrespect them. I just keep scrolling along. Just keep going. Because everyone's entitled to what they want to, you know, feel and say. But I truly believe that without giving kindness, you're not going to receive it back. And that's something that I really work at every day.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
as a man of faith.
That's amazing.
And, yeah, it is. And I know Zane is a man of faith also, and I'm a man of faith. I just want to add an amen to that, because you should not be in. Yes, big old amen here. Because you should not be embarrassed by your faith and be able to put it out there. Vicky, let's talk, because we all need to get back to our lives here a little bit, but it's been such a pleasure. Give us your website, your Twitter, and any other thing, how people can contact you and connect with the great Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, well, gosh, I'm great. I'm so, like, my head's all blown up right now. Yeah, you know, my Instagram is Guerrero_Vicky. My Twitter is at Vicky Guerrero. On Facebook, I'm at the Vicky Guerrero Show. On my website, I'm VickyGuerrero.net. And if anybody wants to email me, I'm at excusemevicky@outlook.com. And gosh, thank y'all so much. This is a lot of fun. And I wish y'all so much success and peace in your lives.
Oh, thank you so much. Can you, Zane, you have any final words?
You know, I just want to tell you, Vicky, thank you so much for, you know, giving us a chance to talk to such a superstar. You know, we've had a lot of cool people on the show, and thank you for helping us and giving us the opportunity to have somebody with the star power and the the amazingness that you bring to every promotion, to everything you do, and for helping us want to grow, and for helping us just taking the time to give to the little guys says a lot about your character and about who you are. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys. And it's about helping each other out.
Vicki, I wanted to thank you once again for your kindness in Salt Lake City when we got to meet you at the FanX. And I wanted to just do one thing. Please say excuse me to me. Please, please.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready. And I got to know, when are we going to get Vicki Guerrero in the Hall of Fame? I got to have it. Got to have it.
Who knows, guys? You know how that story runs out.
Right.
Well, oh, gosh. Unreal. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you, Vicki.
I can't say thank you enough. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure talking to you. And with that, I think I'll sign off and I'll have to talk to Dave later and I'll let you guys close it out.
All right. Thank you, Zane.
Thanks, guys.
And Zane's in Las Vegas going to the NASCAR race this weekend. Vicki, once again. Oh, I'd love Vegas too. I wish I could be there.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
I'm here, Vicki. Oh my gosh. Dude, I just got goosebumps.
You made the cougar come out a little bit.
Boy, we felt like a bunch of morons.
You actually are going to be part of the show.
And what's your point, Dave? What is your point? You know, you can take the girl out of the ring, but you'll never take the ring out of the girl. They want me to go back and do commentary or, you know, go slap someone. Yeah, they have my number.
Well, you could slap Zane anytime you wanted to.
If you like just butt kicking, punch in the face type of wrestling, we have it.
Awesome.
No.
Professional wrestling is the last sport where really the fans become part of the action.
Say excuse me to me. Please, please.
Oh my gosh.
Half of life is just showing up.